Senate Education Committee order. Today is Tuesday, April 9th, 2019. The time is 9:02 a.m. In attendance are Senator Birch, Senator Hughes, Senator Costello, Senator Begich, and myself. We have a quorum to conduct business. Today we're going to hold confirmation hearings for appointees to the Alaska Professional Teaching Practices Commission. We're not going to be taking up Symbol 56 as we had talked about earlier relating to Play Day. Any questions or comments before we begin? Thank you all for being here. The Professional Teaching Practices Commission, PTPC, appointees are online, or should be online with us. It looks to me like we have some folks here. We're going to start with Janine Todd of Delta Junction, then go on to Tammy Van Wy of Glen Allen, and then Todd Smolden of Willow. So I believe... Janine, you are with us, so I'd like to start, and if you would give us a brief introduction of yourself, talk if you will, about your personal background, what you bring to the commission, why you're interested in serving, and any goals you may have. So,
certainly.
Janine, thank you.
Sure. So I emailed all of you in February, so I'm not sure how much about me you have in front of you. I don't want to repeat information, but I'll just give you a little brief introduction. So I graduated from Virginia Tech with a BA in elementary education in 1981, and we moved to Fort Greely, Alaska, courtesy of the U.S. Army in 1989. On May 23rd of this year, I'll complete my 33rd year of teaching. And the past 28 of those years have been spent at the Delta Greeley School District in Delta Junction. Let me think. What could I bring to this commission? You know, I was thinking about this for a long time. I went for a long walk last night, and I talked to myself, and I asked myself questions, and then I answered them, and people probably thought I was crazy. But I think I bring discernment to this commission. I really feel like it's heartbreaking to think about a teacher losing their certificate. But I also believe it's critical that every teacher's actions follow our code of ethics. And I believe that I can look at the facts presented in a case and make the hard decisions, if necessary, to protect our students and staff and to protect our profession. And I also want to tell you that I was appointed to fill a retiring teacher's position back in June, and I've been to two meetings so far, one coming up at the end of this month. But I also had the privilege of attending, this is a ginormous acronym, the National Association of State Directors of Teacher Education and Certification Professional Practices Institute, which is NASPEC, which is the clearinghouse for certification and checking on backgrounds of teachers and such. And in Portland, Maine, and I went with Melody, our head staff person, and I learned so much about what the professional teaching practices is about by listening to professionals, legal professionals, teaching professionals, and also listening to victims and hearing their stories of what they went through in their recovery. So I feel like I also bring that point of view to the committee as well. Can you remind me of your next question?
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. So what you bring to the board or to the PTC, to the commission, why you're interested in serving, and any goals you may have.
Okay, so I truly feel like it's been a privilege to be on the commission for the past 7 months, and it has given me a chance to give back to the profession that I have given my life to. I was thinking about this. I've been a teacher for 33 years, like I said. I've been a teacher longer than I've not been a teacher, which is kind of weird to think about. But one other thing that I'm interested in serving is I think that PTPC often has a negative view when people think about us. We're usually viewed as the body that imposes sanctions and takes certificates from teachers who engage in illegal and unethical conduct. But I also think it's important to remember that our commission helps to safeguard our students and staff, and that this commission is the commission that ensures the best possible educators are providing the best education to our students. And we also have input to the teacher preparation program, the certification requirements, and even the application itself. In fact, this year, our committee was able to make some changes to the application, and we were able to make it easier for Melody, I'll just say, because she's in that position right now, to identify people applying for teaching positions that probably shouldn't be applying based on past history. So we made some changes in that form itself. And I also think it's important that we offer professional development to districts regarding what PTPC is and does and our code of ethics. And then finally, I think you asked for goals for improvement. So in my short time on the committee, I have to tell you that I think the committee works great. You know, we get issues reported to us, and investigations are conducted, and then decisions are made on those investigations. And then we also have made great positive strides with the way we're viewed among community members and other staff members around the state. And a goal that I would have, I think, first would be that more teachers would know we exist, because I'm not sure everyone even knows what PTPC is and what we do for them. And the second would be that rather than the word police comes to mind when someone says, oh, PTPC, that the word advocate would come to mind. So I think I've answered all your questions as much as I can.
Oh, you have indeed. Thank you very much, Janine. So there's, I have to say, even some misunderstanding or lack of knowledge around our table of what the commission does. In your brief time, have you actually removed the or pulled the certificates of any teachers?
So what happens is cases come, they're reported to PTPC, and then Melody, who is the staff person, who is the paid person to investigate, she does all the legwork in investigating, talking to all the members that are involved in a case. And then she brings what her recommendation is to our committee. And then our committee looks also at the evidence of the case, whatever we're privy to. And then we either confirm her decision or we object to her decision and make another decision. And actually, the only thing that I've actually been part of so far is 1-year suspensions. So we've had some teachers that have had to not teach for a year or those kind of cases. And what's most interesting is I thought it would be our cases would be more wrapped around offenses to children or immoral behavior, whatever. Most of them have centered around breaking contract, which is also an issue that we have to deal with in our state. So, yes, I've been part of the group that says, yes, this teacher needs to not teach for a while, but I don't think I've been part of one where someone has completely lost their certificate, but I can't remember.
Well, thank you, Janine. And I know all teachers are aware of the commission. Certainly professionals in your business are aware of them. Often outsiders aren't, and so I think you're right. It'd be good for people to know that the commission exists, and I appreciate your comments. The commission has been sort of flying under the radar the last few years, and that's natural, that's understandable. Well, thank you for your comments, and there's a question from Senator Birch.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for your interest and willingness to serve on this commission, Ms. Todd, and really is and Delta area are truly beautiful parts of Alaska, having spent a fair amount of time there. One question I have is the interplay, and I see your affiliation with the National Education Association, the union representing many of the teachers. How does the interplay work between the commission, between the school district, I guess, the superintendent or the principal, and the employee? What is the interplay there between the commission, the union representing the employee, and the employee? I'm a little fuzzy on how that works. So if inappropriate behavior is identified by a parent or whomever, does that go first to the employer, to the school district or the super, somehow that would go that way? Then how do you plug in, and where does the individual's representation come from through the chair?
So I'll do my best on this one. So my understanding is anyone can report directly to PTPC. A parent can report, a teacher can report on another teacher, or it can go right to the administration, or the administrator can also report. In fact, our administrator during the hiring process this year contacted PGPC to get a background, to get background information on an applicant. So PGPC is used in a lot of ways, not just for punishment. It's also used as a flag. Has this teacher ever had a violation that you know of? So that's one way that the administration can use us. But as far as our union connection, I think the most important thing, and I am in the union, as you see, and I have been my whole career. I think it's important to be a part of your professional organizations. But when we have had staff members on our staff that have had issues, yes, they do come to the union to get help going through it, but the union doesn't supersede the code of ethics. And so if it is definitely a code of ethics violation, then it would go to PTPC. And at that point, I'm pretty confident that the union would be hands off, because they've gone beyond what the union is just there to enforce contract issues, not code of ethics issues. Does that answer your question?
Yes, that's very helpful. A follow-up would be we've heard, and it's been widely noted, that we have a lot of first-time teachers that come to Alaska from out of state, just because we have heretofore been unable to produce educate the number of teachers necessary to move into teaching positions around the state. Does the commission have access to, or are they engaged at all in retrieving, if you will, information outside of Alaska on teaching practices or experience on prospective employees, through the chair?
They certainly do, and I mentioned that it's called NASDEC, and I'll give you the letters if you want to take a note of it. It's NASDTEC. That is the clearinghouse. It's a national clearinghouse for people looking to check out employees, future prospective employees, can go through that clearinghouse, and that's where people are flagged.
Thank you.
So that is basically kind of in the world of education primarily. That's not an across the board clearinghouse. That's just primarily for educators or individuals that are involved in the education arena in some way.
Right. It's for teacher education and certification.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah. Oh, and I don't believe it includes classified employees like our aides and such. But I might be wrong with that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Todd. Could you give us an idea of the time it has taken you to be a member of this commission?
Of how long it has taken?
The time it takes out of your day. Is it a weekly meeting, a monthly meeting? Just to let us know what the commitment is on your part.
Sure. So pretty much what happens is we have three meetings that are scheduled each school year, and we do it during the school year. And then depending on the number of cases, we might have a two-day meeting or a one-day meeting. And so basically we meet together three times a year. And before we get there, we will get a packet of information that we have to destroy after reading it that might be just some case histories and information, so that when we get to the meeting, we're already a little bit aware of what the cases are we're going to look at. So pretty much it involves possibly a little reading and then a 1 to 2 day meeting three times a year. Unless there's a hearing, and I haven't been to a hearing yet. And a hearing would be more like a court case.
Well, thank you, Ms. Todd. I really appreciate your spending time with us, and I appreciate your commitment and your contribution to education in Alaska. So we will hear from all three appointees besides yourself, Ms. Van Wy and Mr. Todd. Todd Smolden. And then we'll have we'll open it to public hearing if people have any questions or comments. So please stay online if you would. And we have another question from Senator Begich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just have a couple questions for you, if that's okay.
Sure.
The first is, I actually don't know the phrase breaking contract. What does that mean?
Oh, like, for example, you sign a contract and then you work for a week and say, I'm out of here.
Cool.
And you don't fulfill your contract, your year's commitment to being a teacher in that position.
Got it. And then the second thing that I had a question about was you used the word advocate, that would be part of your perception of the role, and that was to get people to know more about the PTPC, or what does advocate mean to you?
So what it means to me is that I think we, more than being a policing agency, which we tend to be known for, because usually you only hear PTPC when there's a problem, is I think that if we did more training, more staff development around the code of ethics and what our functions are, and if we were, and this is just a goal, a dream, I guess, and if we were more accessible, right now the teachers get, I think, 4 times a year, possibly 3 during the school year, a little newsletter, and the newsletter simply states the outcomes of cases, new changes to the code of ethics, if there are any, those kind of things. So, and teachers, I'm sad to say, tend to just throw them in the trash because I don't think they really understand the purpose and the function of this group. So as advocate, I think I'd like them to say, hey, if I have a problem, can I call you? Not, I have a problem, I need to talk to you. Does that make sense?
It completely makes sense. Just a couple quick...
Please, Senator, go ahead.
That makes complete sense. Very exciting vision, actually. Just you mentioned just briefly that you hadn't seen any contracts that come based on immoral or unethical conduct yet. And just in your words, what would constitute immoral or what would constitute unethical?
Teachers, I guess in my mind, I kind of throw back to teachers who are having relationships with students. That would be, you know, completely a no. I don't believe that we've dealt with any of those since I was on the commission, but I know there have been cases in the past, you know, high school teachers dating students, those kind of things. Abuses, crossing the line, I think, is a good way to put that.
So if I could just follow up on that specific point. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So really, you know, immoral actions, relationships between students and teachers and students because of the authorities and clearly the illegality of that, which would be immoral, illegal, and unethical, I guess. But what about teacher lifestyles and the way teachers comport themselves in their private lives? Does that have an impact on your decisions or any decision that you might make?
You know, I'm not sure. I'll seriously, not being there very long, I'm not sure if that would be something that we would even know about. I don't know how that would be reported. I'm not exactly sure. I'm just not sure that would be something that people would report. If you're talking about, and I'm just going to go out on a limb here, if you're talking about adulterous relationships, I'm not really sure. I don't know that that's something that we would be reported.
If it were, how would you react to that?
I guess I would have to lay it against the code of ethics very carefully and scrutinize if our code of ethics, that the Alaska teacher code of ethics, if it speaks to that, then, and if there are consequences for breaking that, if it is wrong, then I guess we would have to deal with it. I just don't know what the possible repercussions would be, whether it be loser certificate for a year. I don't know what all those are yet.
That's a good answer. I just have one last question, if that's okay.
Please, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just sort of following up on Senator Birch's comments, you've been in NEA, you've been a member of the union. How do your personal beliefs, how would they affect your perception of this job? And I didn't, he asked a sort of different question about that, but I'm kind of coming at it from a different angle. How do you think your personal beliefs about things like that would affect your job, or do you think you could set them aside and focus on the cases in front of you?
Oh, I think I could definitely focus on the cases in front of me. In fact, I have to tell you, we have in the meetings I've been to, we have never talked union. That's an aside, a completely different part of my life that I am part of. And I have to tell you, the reason that I'm part of my union and actually a very strong member and have been president of our union before is because I believe in our local support of our staff and the protection of our rights. But our rights the rights that we have are not against the code of ethics, and that's where I would have to draw the line. It would be, does this offense, does this investigation, does it have to do with the code of ethics, or is it just someone's mad at someone?
I understand. Thank you very much for those answers. And I look forward to your service on the commission.
Thank you, Senator Begich.
Thank you.
Senator Hughes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Ms. Todd, for your willingness to serve. This is more of a, just a process question, so I understand. I'm not sure how many total teachers we have in the state. Maybe you know, but I'm wondering how many cases the PTPC would handle a year, and if some cases maybe never rise to that level where a district, a superintendent, or a principal might be dealing with things in-house. Of course, they couldn't suspend a certificate or remove a certificate, but there might be a professional conduct things that don't come to you. And I'm just wondering if you're aware of districts are handling some things without coming to PTPC, and then how many cases PTPC handles a year.
So I guess that two-part kind of question. I'm not sure how many cases Melody gets, and I use Melody because she's our current person. I'm not sure how many cases she actually sees over the course of a month or through the course of a year. I do know that some things that are reported during the investigation process often are handled in-house by the district, and then we don't see those because either she's found out that this is something the district can handle, it's not something for our eyes or our decision. And so I know there are cases that don't come to us, but once if they come to Melody, then she does investigate them. And I have to believe that there are things that happen in every district that PTPC never is aware of. But that's based on the people reporting or not.
Senator Hughes.
And thank you, Ms. Todd. And just wondering what the process is if there's illegal activity. Is there just an automatic removal of a certificate? Does someone actually have to file a complaint? And before, in other words, someone, we hear about teachers' incidents with students and such. Are those certificates being revoked once they've been convicted? Or how does that work? Or do they come before you?
Golly. I wish I had more knowledge on this, but I'm pretty confident that the first step, if a teacher is found or thought to be doing something that they shouldn't be doing, the first step, I believe, would be to put them on leave. You know, just the district would just say, you're on leave, whether with pay, without pay, that would be a district decision. And then I think the case would come to, the district would do some legwork, I'm sure, and then it would come to PTPC, and then depending on the severity of the case, I think there can be an automatic revocation, but I have to almost think that it comes to us for a stamp of approval of that decision, but I really don't know yet. So I think my best answer is that's my imagination of how it works, and I don't think we leave people in the classrooms that shouldn't be there if there is something worth investigating that's severe. But I think that happens first at the local level, and then it comes to us.
Thank you, Senator Hughes.
Okay, thank you. I'm just concerned, Mr. Chair, that if someone were to commit an illegal act, that they wouldn't somehow, even serving time, be able to maintain a certificate and then go back, maybe not in Alaska, but somewhere else with that certificate. That's just my concern, but it may be beyond PTPC.
Can I jump in there?
Yes, please.
On every application, there is a box. Like, it's almost like the first or second question. Have you ever been convicted? Have you ever been accused? Have you ever had any? There's verbiage for it. I don't have it in front of me. But you have to check that box. And at that point, if you check that box, most people probably wouldn't even continue the application process because that's the first level of flagging that would happen when your application came to the certification committee. And so I'm sure there are people that slip under the wire, but again, that clearinghouse is there for a reason, and then that application process is very clear that you pretty much sign that you are clean, and if you're not, they know right away and investigate what the why did you check that box. So, for example, maybe someone accused you of something, but not, you were cleared and it was completely innocent. There's a way for you to explain that on the application process, and then that is looked into nationwide.
Senator Hughes.
Thank you. And I confess, Mr. Chair, this probably goes beyond the scope of this, but I am just curious whether teachers undergo background checks. I know on the news this morning there was news about the professor at the university system with a number of victims coming forward. So I'm just wondering, Ms. Todd, do you know, do teachers have to go through a background check as part of the certification process?
We do, and we also are fingerprinted, which takes it to the next level. And but I have to tell you, a lot of this issue you're talking about has to do with how much the group wanting this person to work for them does. I mean, if they're not on top of it, I guess things could happen. Hopefully everybody who's looking at someone's application is seriously looking at it, not just trying to fill a position.
Thank you. Well, Ms. Todd, I think we've all learned a lot about the commission and the process that you go through. As the first person to testify before us, you're getting a lot of questions, and maybe others will get similar questions. But could you comment? Now, we have the legislature has an ethics committee, a commission. I think it's probably similar to what you have, but we're also very careful about legal issues. Do you have advice of attorneys, of state attorneys, when you make a decision?
So we do have an attorney on the committee, and they're not present at every meeting, but they are available to us.
Okay, thank you so much. I appreciate that. Any further questions?
Just
Senator Begich.
I noted that statute requires that different positions be presented and submitted for our consideration based on filling certain seats. And when I looked at your seat, your teacher representative, that's right?
Yes.
And the teacher representatives have to be either submitted by a recognized professional organization or 25 teachers. That's statute. I forget the statutes in 14. That covers the commission. So was your name submitted by a teaching organization?
My name was submitted by NEA Alaska.
Okay, thank you very much. That's all I have.
Mm-hmm.
Again, thank you very much, Ms. Todd. I really appreciate your forthcomingness. And if you wouldn't mind hanging on in case there's some questions when we get to the public comments, I'd appreciate you being with us. And let's move right on to Tammy Van Wy. Ms. Van Wy from Glen Allen, are you with us?
Good morning, Senator Stevens. I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you clearly. Thank you.
All right, thanks. Good morning, Chair Stevens and members of the Senate Education Committee. For the record, my name is Tamara Van Wy, and I am honored to come before you this morning as the Department of Education and Early Development's representative on the Professional Teaching Practices Commission. I apologize for not being there in person, but I am in Anchorage with about 100 Alaskan educators who have gathered for DEED's Spring Technical Assistance Workshop. Nearly my entire adult life has been dedicated to the field of education. Not only has it been my career, it has been my passion and my pastime. In 1995, my husband and I packed up our three very small children and moved from rural Minnesota to Alaska so that I could pursue teaching in this great state. Over the last 24 years, I have served in the Mat-Su, Anchorage, and Copper River school districts and have held a multitude of positions in the classroom, school administration, and district office leadership. In 2004, I earned certification from the National Board of Professional Teaching Standards, and I hold active certifications in Alaska as both a teacher and an administrator. Until January 1st of this year, I served as superintendent of the Copper River School District. During my years at district office in Copper River, where I also served for many years as district-wide director of teaching and learning support, I led online and blended learning initiatives, coordinated the district's digital teaching initiative grant project, and was selected as the second Alaskan superintendent for membership in the Digital Promise League of Innovative Schools. I served on the Modernization and Finance Committee for the Alaska Education Challenge and was recognized as the Technology Leadership Award winner in 2015 by the Alaska Society for Technology and Education, also known as ASTE, the acronym that you were trying to figure out in committee last week what it stood for. On January 2nd, 2019, I joined a team at the Department of Education and Early Development, where I currently serve as Division Director for Educator and School Excellence. While I have devoted my professional career to education, my family is what matters most in my life. My husband, Terry, is a farmer in the Copper River Basin, and we will celebrate our 34th wedding anniversary this coming June. We are the very proud parents of three adult children. Our two sons both work in education here in Alaska, and our daughter is a graduate student at UAS who is working in the Capitol this session. We're also proud grandparents of three grandchildren, the oldest of whom is a kindergartner in the Copper River School District this year, which has given me kind of a new look on education through the eyes of a kindergartner. I bring to the commission 24 years of experience as an Alaskan educator and a deep understanding of and commitment to the code of ethics of the PPPC. I believe that educators must hold themselves to a higher standard at all times, as they are role models for children, and their actions speak volumes about the profession, whether they mean to or not. As a school and district administrator, I became acquainted with the PPPC's investigatory process when concerns arose with staff conduct, and PPPC reports were either considered or required. In a perfect world, there would not be a need for an entity like the PPPC, but our world is not perfect, and I am thankful that this commission exists to, per the PPPC's mission statement, serve as a preventative and positive force in helping to enhance the professional performance of all educators, so that the public's right to the best education possible for all of Alaska students is equally protected. One of the three seats on the 9-member commission is to be held by a representative of the Alaska Department of Education and Early Development. Commissioner Johnson has designated me as that representative, and I am pleased to serve as PPPC activities align with teacher quality, which is within the Educator and School Excellence Division at BEAD. In addition, as stated earlier, I am passionate about educator quality, and the PPPC plays an important role in ensuring that the educators who interact with Alaska students and stakeholders on a daily basis are committed to ethical behavior, and that there is a clear path for investigation and consequences when ethical lines are crossed or when contractual agreements have been broken. As a new member of the commission, one suggestion I have for improvement of the PPPC is related to updates of some of the materials available to educators to help the people in our schools to be more aware of what PPP is and the processes involved. The PPPC Handbook for Educators, currently available online, was last updated in 2012. And while the content may not have changed significantly, a refresh of the resource and a new rollout to districts would be timely. As we all know, the way we communicate and interact has changed dramatically over the last several years as a result of mobile devices and social media, and the PPPC can really capitalize on new ways to inform Alaska's educators of ethical standards by using social media as a tool while simultaneously cautioning them of their increased accountability as public figures. And while educators are not public figures in the same sense elected officials are, the public nature of being a teacher or a principal or a district-level administrator may be even more significant, as the educator's audience is our youth, our state's most precious and impressionable resource. Thank you for this opportunity to testify, and members of the committee, thank you so very much for your service to our great state.
Well, thank you very much, Ms. Van Wy. I appreciate your being with us. Any questions? Senator Costello.
Thank you, Tamara, for being willing to serve in this important capacity. I'm a former classroom teacher myself. I've taught in three different districts in Alaska, and I really am impressed with your resume and think that, you know, oftentimes when we hear from Alaskans who are willing to serve on boards and commissions, so many of you bring so many talents forward, so I wanted to thank you for that. I'm just looking through your resume, and I was wondering if you could provide the committee chair with some information that I'm just looking at that you've published or been involved in, and so and I can talk to you about this offline also, but I'm interested in the Digital Teaching Initiative grant that you designed and authored and managed, if there's any information you can provide the committee on that in writing, perhaps not now. And then I'm also interested in a copy of your article, When the Impossible Happens, that you wrote in 2004. And then I'm also interested in if you have any information on the digital learning programs that you designed for the Copper River School District. And again, I just want to thank you for putting your name forward and being willing to serve.
Thank you, Senator Costello. Other questions? Senator Begich, yes.
Thank you also, Tamara. This is Senator Begich, and thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have some of the same questions for you that I'm asking. I just want to be fair to all the different folks. You've already answered the very last question I asked, which is, were you presented by the commissioner? Of course, you were. You're his deputy, and you're doing a great job at that. I wanted to focus in just on that question of illegal, moral, or unethical conduct again, and just ask you the question, you know, that, you know, how, I guess maybe I would start with, how would you describe that the immoral conduct? That you spoke to ethical and you spoke to illegal in your comments, but you didn't speak to what moral means to you, immoral means to you.
Through the chair, Senator Begich, you know, that's a tricky question.
Not meant to be.
Immoral, I think, is defined differently by every individual and is based on personal beliefs and personal experiences. I think that when we talk about immoral behavior in education, there are certain things that we can definitely all agree on, with the focus always being safety for children, that adults are serving as positive role models, in that they are modeling and demonstrating the same kind of behaviors that we hope to see in the children in our schools. So it's, you know, it's difficult to give a dictionary definition of what immoral means, in my opinion, because it really is rooted in personal beliefs. But one of the reasons I think a professional teaching practices commission or a standards board related to educational practices is important is that it provides an opportunity for various interpretations of immoral behavior to be brought to light and brought before a group and a board, a commission in this case, where situations can be reviewed by the group, and it's not a single stakeholder or a single individual's personal beliefs that are making a decision related to morality.
If I could follow up on that.
Please, Senator.
It does matter, and you've just indicated, you know, you've said personal belief, it's rooted in personal belief was what you said, and that does matter to me because I asked a question earlier, and that was if a teacher's lifestyle outside of the classroom were not one that matched your personal beliefs, how would that affect you?
Well, through the chair, Senator Begich, as a superintendent, actually, during the many years that I was in district office, there were situations that came to light where an individual's lifestyle outside of school was troubling. There were cases where it had to do with personal relationships. It may have had to do with use of substances. And we really had to look at the situations that were brought to us sometimes by concerned parents, sometimes by administrators, sometimes by coworkers, and determine whether or not something that was considered to be not okay by one person was affecting an individual's performance in the classroom. And, you know, where I may not have agreed with a lifestyle choice that an individual made, we were very careful to always look at, is this a personal decision or is this something that is influencing and impacting what's happening in a classroom and that individual's ability to either teach or to fulfill a leadership role? And if the answer was no, that it had no bearing on what was happening with the job we hired that person to do, then it was not something that we acted on.
Thank you. That was a nice connection that you made there between the two. Appreciate your time, and I appreciate your willingness to serve.
Thank you, Senator Begich, for the questions. Senator Birch.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. thank you very much for your interest and willingness to serve, Ms. Van Wy. We had testimony earlier about a clearinghouse, this NASDEC or NASDTEC, as a means of recruiting or assessing prospective education employees that are out of state. When does the Professional Teaching Practices Commission have? I mean, is there a rating for educators that are currently employed, or is this clearinghouse? Does that work for everybody, or is that just for out of state? Or are you familiar with that? And the reason I'm bringing this up is that we always talk about ramping up and hiring, but I didn't know if the commission had any involvement or consultancy or relevance when it comes time to reducing staff, if you will. So if you have say there's a significant funding shortfall and there's a necessity to reduce staff, does the Practices Commission play a role, or are they involved in that at all through the chair?
Through the chair, Senator Birch, no, the PTPC doesn't play a role at all in either staffing schools or reducing staff in cases of budget shortfalls. That it's completely outside the purview of the PTPC. And the National Association of State Directors of Teacher Education and Certification, that very long acronym, our teacher certification folks at DEED and Sandra Meredith, our teacher certification administrator, are very familiar with this organization. I'd be more than happy to get additional information to send to the committee. But when it comes to recruiting and retaining teachers, those are activities that happen completely outside of PTPC. Those are more related to our teacher cert team at the department, also the Alaska Teacher Placement Program, which is run through the University of Alaska Fairbanks, and then it's a lot of work that occurs on behalf of districts.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator. It just seems like education has more acronyms than any other field, and we're trying to catch up with them, so thank you very much. We heard earlier that this commission is not the police, and understand that you only deal with reported activity through, say, a parent or an administrator, but you're not out there looking for difficulties. Can you sort of expand on that a little bit, please, Ms. Van Wy?
Certainly. Senator Birch, reports are submitted to the PTPC, and as was noted by Janine Todd in previous testimony, anyone can submit a report to the PTPC. But normally where the investigations occur is really at the school and the district level. I can't give you any statistics, but I would argue that the vast majority of reports are made to principals at the school level or to superintendents or to school boards at the district level, and investigations are conducted at those levels before they ever go to the PTPC. With that being said, I know that the opposite can also be true, that even in my experience as a district administrator, there were reports made by private individuals directly to the PTPC that then the commission executive director came back to the district and said, look, we've had this report, and now we're following up and doing an investigation. So the role of the commission is not to go out and look for problems. It's to address problems as they are, as they come to the commission, and then work with districts to find resolution.
Well, thank you, Ms. Van Wy. I really appreciate your professional service, your publications. You've been had a great career, and thank you for your willingness to step forward on this commission.
Just a quick
one more question, Senator Begich.
No, just a comment. Okay. Just under 14-2470, and it ties into some of the questions that have been asked today. Number five is make any recommendation to the board or to school boards that would promote an improvement in the teaching profession. So there's this positive non-policing role of this commission that the first Janine spoke about, I know that Ms. Van Wy is looking at as well. So that's kind of exciting to see the commission move to that next level.
Very good. Thank you. There are no further questions. We'll move on, and thank you again, Ms. Van Wyden. Move on to Todd Smolden. Mr. Smolden, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, thank you, Todd. Hear you clearly. Please, the questions I had asked earlier were your personal background, what you bring to the commission, why you are interested in serving, and what goals you may have to improve the commission. So if you'd please go ahead, Mr. Smolden.
Yes, thank you, Chair Stevens. First of all, I wanted to thank all of you for your service. And I wanted to say to Senator Hughes, it's beautiful, sunny, and the mountains are beautiful here in the valley. So if you're missing the mighty Mat-Su, it looks great outside. I have been a teacher for 21 years. I taught at East High School in Anchorage for 17 years, Japanese, economics, history. I also taught at North Star Behavioral Hospital with the adolescent girls in mental health treatment for the last 4 years. And what I would, I have an economics degree from UAA and also my master's degree in teaching from UAA. I've also taught online for about 14 years. I was the initial social studies online teacher in the ASD when the Anchorage School District started online education. I think what I bring to this commission is an understanding of very diverse student populations. Having taught at East High School, which was the most diverse school in the country, and also in special schools with students, at-risk students struggling with mental health issues. I have a wide perspective on what different classrooms look like and how all students are different learners and the challenges that teachers face because of that. And so I'm able to offer that kind of diverse perspective of what teachers have to deal with in their profession while they're working with students in the classroom. I'm interested in serving on the commission because as a professional educator, I feel that it is extremely important that we maintain our professionalism, and also believe that because a great part of our state budget is spent on K-12 education, it's really important that the community has trust in our public educators and all educators because they want to know that the people who are working and the system that we're spending money on is professional and that we're providing good outcomes, and that if there are issues with any of the professionals working in the education system, that there's a method for them to kind of interact or fix that. But by the same token, I'm also very encouraged to hear my fellow appointed commissioners discuss the advocacy role and the professional development role that the commission can also play, because as an educator, we don't want to just be police. We want to obviously maintain the professionalism of our industry and those who work in it, but we also want to build teachers up, and we also want to provide expectations like we would for our students, but also a method for professional people in our profession to grow. And so that's what really encourages me about being a part of this commission. And I think I would echo the goals of Ms. Todd when she spoke earlier in terms of making sure that the commission is more visible to professionals so that they can get the professional development that they might need around the idea of ethics and professional practices. But I also hope that the commission moves in a direction of making parents and other members of the community more aware of the function of the Professional Teaching Practices Commission, so that if they do see something that they see as unprofessional, that they would feel comfortable to report that to, first principals, districts, And then if it did get to the commission, they would feel comfortable being a participant in that. Because if people don't have the courage to follow the procedure that we have in place, then we can't ensure that we have a very professional group within our education system. Chair Stevens, I think I answered your four main questions, but I'm willing to take questions from any members of the committee.
Well, thank you, Mr. Swollen. I appreciate your comments and particularly the idea of not hiding your light of this commission under a basket and making sure that parents and others know that if they see something, they should be reporting it. So that's a great attitude, and I hope we can see that occur in the future. Any questions from members of our committee? Sure. Senator Begich.
Thank you, Todd, for the comments and for your support of that advocacy role, which I think is important. That's both your other appointees spoke to it, and I just really hadn't thought about that in terms of the commission. I think that's a great idea. I'm going to ask you some of the same questions I've asked the others, and one of those is, about how you define, we talk about illegal, we talk about unethical conduct. You mentioned willingness or desire to have parents become more engaged in the process, and that brings in the issue that Ms. Van Wy spoke to, which is how how a person's personal beliefs, how a definition of morality may be or immorality may be rooted in a person's personal beliefs. So parents would bring those to the table. How do you perceive that yourself? As a member of the commission, how would you look at those? How would you define immoral behavior?
Well, I don't think the way that I define immoral is really important in terms of what the commission does. There is a written code of ethics that professional educators have to follow. And so what we do in the investigation process, not the commission, but when others investigate something, they do that through this written code of ethics. The only time, and I think Ms. Van Wy mentioned this, the only time that we would really make a determination would be if a person's, an educator's personal life spilled into the classroom. So in other words, if something that a person was doing in their personal life created a learning environment that was, not, it wasn't conducive for learning, then there might be a role for the commission in that. But in terms of our personal ideas of morality and ethics, we use the code of ethics as a guide when we're looking at cases. Just like a police officer would use the law to determine whether or not someone should be, fined or arrested or what have you.
To follow up,
Senator Burgess.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. But going to your point about reaching out and getting parents to be more engaged in the process, anyone reading the statute is going to read illegal, moral, or ethical. That's what the statute says. I want to push on this just a little bit. A parent brings to you or to the commission, perhaps a lifestyle they don't agree with that's happening. How do you react to that? What do you bring to bear in that discussion? If you're going to engage parents at a greater level, how would that person's lifestyle, that teacher's lifestyle outside of the job, affect your decision when it's brought to your attention by a parent? Would you, I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but what would be your response as a commissioner to that?
So through the chair, Senator Begich, I think understanding the process by which we get a case is important here. So first of all, when a parent or anyone files an ethic complaint, that first goes through the principal, through the local district, and then they will make a determination based on the code of ethics whether or not that needs to advance, at which point it's my understanding they contact Executive Director Melody Mann, who then starts to investigate and determine whether or not it is grievous enough to have the commission consider some kind of sanction. And there are different levels, warnings, reprimands, so on and so forth, up to suspension of license. Based on my understanding of the commission, it would have to be a fairly grievous offense with many people agreeing that somehow this has impacted the classroom before it gets to me. And then when it gets to me and the eight other members who make this decision, then we would have a discussion based on the code of ethics and whether or not, based on the investigation from the through the process, that it has a negative impact on the classroom.
I appreciate that answer.
It's not a determination of what our personal morality or moral views are, but more a function of many people involved in the process who are determining whether or not this is impacting the education that's occurring in the classroom.
I appreciate that answer, Todd. Thank you for that. And I just have one last question.
Yes, Senator, please.
And this just goes to, again, the selection of members. You know, there's under the statute, I brought this up earlier with Janine and obviously with Ms. Van Wy. Each of these positions you've been appointed to, I believe, one of the classroom teacher positions, right? Is that right?
Yes.
So the requirement is that five classroom teachers from lists of names submitted by recognized Alaska's teachers organizations, each list not to exceed 12 names. Was your name submitted by an Alaska teachers organization?
Through the chair, no, it was not. My name was submitted by the alternative method of having 25 or more, and I think there were more teachers sign and agree to them wanting me to be considered.
And that would have been my next question, which is to ask if you had the 25 names. So I appreciate that very much. Thank you for meeting those qualifications.
Thank you for the comments. Todd, just to clarify this issue, you are the director of the governor's office in Mat-Su, is that correct?
Yes, thank you for that question, Senator. Chair Stevens, yes, I am. I actually wanted to make sure that I was able to serve on this commission, and so it's my understanding that the legal team for the executive branch as well as the attorney with the commission agreed that I could serve in this capacity.
Okay, great. Thanks for that comment then, and let's go to Senator Begich.
Well, actually, I didn't know that, so I just a follow-up. Did you get a legal opinion? Because being a classroom teacher is different than being the director of a governor's office. Are you not teaching at present?
Through the chair, I am on a leave of absence, so technically I'm still a classroom teacher.
If I could follow up?
Yes, please, Senator Begich.
But is the director's job a full-time paying job?
Through the chair, yes, it is.
I would ask, I guess, Mr. Chairman, to see a copy of the legal opinion that says that a full-time director's job is a classroom teacher's job. I'm a little confused by that, actually.
A full-time director of the Office of the Governor is not a full-time teaching job. I am on a leave of absence from teaching, but because I'm on a leave of absence, I am technically still a classroom teacher.
Mr. Chairman, if I may.
Senator Begich.
I think, Mr. Smolden, you can understand my concern here. I hope that you can. I will probably ask our legislative legal to give us an opinion of that as well. But the point of having an active classroom teacher on the Professional Teaching Practices Commission is because of their direct experience. So I guess I didn't realize that you weren't in the classroom teaching at this point, but I appreciate the nuance of what you're describing, and I will ask legislative legal for an opinion on that. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Begich. So, Mr. Smolden, I guess I need to ask, do you see serving in that position as any conflict serving as the governor's, the director of the governor's office in Mat-Su, do you see that as any conflict in serving also on this commission?
Thank you, Chair Stevens. That's a great question and one I anticipated. I would say that the two positions, the director of the MATSU office and the Professional Teaching Practices Commission, are completely separate from each other. In the director of the MATSU office, I'm a liaison between, you know, local governments and constituents and nonprofits and business organizations in the MATSU Valley, and in the other, I determine whether or not, you know, as a member of a commission, whether or not someone's met the professional and ethical practices of being an educator. And through my 21 years of classroom experience, I feel confident that I can do that very well. So I do not see them as connected at all.
Well, thank you, Mr. Smolden. We have a question from Senator Costello, then Senator Hughes, and yes, Senator Costello.
Thank you, Mr. Smolden, for being willing to serve. I find your experience diverse and think that you bring a lot to the table. My only request is that you provide an updated resume to the committee that would show your all of your employment history, because I think it's important for that transparency. And I'm not sure when you had submitted your resume to the governor's office, but if you could do that, just so it reflects your all of your history, including your position as a director. Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Hughes.
And thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Todd, for joining us today. Just wondering of the timing of your application and the timing of your appointment, because I'm wondering if it occurred before you assumed the directorship of the MATSU office. I think maybe it did. And then the legal opinion you got was after that. So did you apply and were you appointed before you took the position you're in now with the governor's office?
Yes, through the chair, Senator Hughes, I was appointed to the commission in December. And so that's why that's the resume that the committee has. Hiring in the director position was in March. So that's why the resume that you have is not current. But I certainly understand Senator Costello's concern and am more than happy to send an updated resume to the committee.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Smolden. Any further questions? I want to point out that Chris Rattan has also been appointed. He's from Craig, unavailable today to meet with us, but we're tentatively scheduled to meet with him, hold that confirmation hearing on Friday, April 11th. So,
Mr. Chair,
yes,
I do have one more question for Mr. Smolden. Is there any time limit on your leave of absence? Is this a temporary thing? Will you be going back into teaching at some predetermined date, full time?
Yeah, through the chair, Senator Hughes, my current leave of absence is through this school year, and then I will make a determination as to whether or not to apply for an additional year leave of absence.
Follow up?
Senator Hughes.
So assuming that a second year of leave of absence would be permitted by the Anchorage School District, there's no restriction on is there a time limit on getting leaves of absence?
Yeah, through the chair, there is. The additional leave of absence would be the most that I could take.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Senator Begich.
So, Mr. Chairman, that makes me wonder then, this is a three-year term, so then that third year you would not be eligible if you didn't go back to teaching. You would not be eligible at all to be a classroom teacher in the third year of the term if only 2 years of a leave of absence are allowed. So that, again, this is a qualified position. There's a reason for the qualification in this position, and I'm just putting that out there to the members that this is something that at least deserves some consideration.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Senator Hughes.
Mr. Smolden, would your intention then be to return to teaching that third year?
So the reason for the leave of absence is to determine whether or not I want to return to teaching. This new position is obviously new, and I need to make a determination as to how it impacts my family and my career. And so it's very possible that I could go back to teaching. I have not made that determination yet. To assume that I will not go back to teaching would be a false assumption, and to assume that I am going back to teaching would be a false assumption because I have not made that decision yet.
Thank you.
Thank you. Further questions? All right. Thank you very much. So we'll go on to our public hearing, and over the public hearing at this time we have Patrick Mayer, President of Alaska Superintendent's Association. Mr. Mayer, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Good morning, Chairman Stevens and members of the Senate Education Committee. My name is Patrick Mayer, and I am the president of the Alaska Superintendents Association, the Alaska Council of School Administrators, and the superintendent of the Yakutat School District. My purpose for testifying this morning is to express support for Superintendent Chris Reitan as ASA's representative on the Professional Teaching Practices Commission. Superintendent Reitan has 21 years of experience in the state of Alaska and has worked through numerous due process scenarios during his career. He's a longtime superintendent, currently serving in Craig, and prior to that in Galena. He therefore will bring a strong rural perspective to the table. I would also like to say that Superintendent Reitan, as we are reviewing nominees, received unanimous support from the Alaska Superintendents Association for his appointment to the PTPC. Chris exhibits the highest ethical standards and will serve the mission of the PTPC in an exemplary manner. Additionally, I would just like to say Tammy Van Wy, as a former member of the Alaska Superintendents Association and the superintendent of the Copper River School District, she will also serve with distinction. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Good to hear from you, and we will be hearing from Chris Reitan on April 11th. They'll remember your testimony. Thank you very much. Let's move on to another testimony from Jess Vaudeville. I may have mispronounced that name, from the Matsu LIO. Jess, are you with us?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. She doesn't wish to testify at this time.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right. Thank you so much. There's nobody else online, so is there anybody in the audience that wishes? Yes, please, sir. If you come forward, identify yourself and tell us who you represent.
Good morning. Matt Eisenhower. I'm the school board president in Ketchikan, and I did not intend to testify this morning, so I apologize if some of my comments aren't very refined, but I think the conversation today has been interesting. For some of our unfortunate history, last year, in case you weren't aware, we had one of our teachers who was arrested and prosecuted for a sexual assault case, and subsequently pled guilty to that. I would point out, through some of our postmortem with our school board looking back, we looked at three levels. Obviously, there's legality issues that law enforcement handles, and in this case it did. There are second issues that relate to our policies and procedures within our school district that we handle in-house. The third piece, and the reason why I'm bringing this up, is as we've looked at this, we found that there were testimonies and reports from students that we now know broke ethical standards that the PTPC could have enforced had they known. And if through the chair, if I have permission to read a couple of those ethical standards.
Yes, please, go ahead, Matt.
I apologize, not in print. But one of those in AAC 10900, sexual conduct includes explicit sexual jokes and stories, B, flirtatious or sexually related comments. Those we found present in some of our investigation. But the disconnect is that our school district, to our understanding, had no obligation to report, and this could be wrong, and this could be a learning, to the PTPC, some of those obvious ethical standard failures. And so when we have the question is, who's the police here, who's in charge here, if the PTPC never is aware of those ethical charges, they cannot take action on it. And furthermore, related to that, one of the incidences that we found is that within our policy, the building principals will hold the information almost as if you would expect a human resources department to hold that, and we didn't share that information. And some of those early behaviors that students described as creepy, had more people been aware of those behaviors, we would have been probably in a different place to take action earlier. The reason why I bring this up at a state level, if some of those creepy behaviors are not reported to the PTPC and a teacher moves from one district to the other, there's no way, there's no parent HR for our state human resources that will track those quote-unquote creepy or unethical behaviors, in which then there can't be good protection of our students. So I would encourage this committee to consider some of those. But and finally, I'm just grateful that there's awareness of the PTPC, the importance of this body, particularly as it relates to the safety and the protection of our students.
Well, thank you, Matt. I really appreciate your sharing that with us and indicating that there's no obligation to report it. Do you have any suggestions on how we resolve these issues?
You know, I think we're doing it. We're having the conversation. I think awareness and, unfortunately, the pain of our district and our community is going to be leading in that conversation. And I would look to the experts. I'm a layperson. I'm a board president. I'm a hospital administrator, so I'm an expert in that, but I'm not an expert in education. but I would say that this conversation and advice from our PTPC, I know the executive director, Ms. Mann, is very astute in this, and I think the candidates that were brought forth today, I heard all three of them basically state that needs to happen.
Well, thank you very much, and Senator Begich, and then Senator Hughes.
Thank you, and thank you for your willingness to step up and bring the issue up. That sort of at the core of some of my questions here actually is your own experience. But have you had presence that you're aware of the PTPC as a budget, they do some travel, they have some ability to do things. Has there been presence in Ketchikan prior to that? Did you have any real experiences with the PTPC?
It is a mouthful, isn't it?
Yeah. Maybe we should just be calling it the Professional Teaching Practices Commission so that people are more aware of it and letting go of an acronym. So,
well, to the chair, to my knowledge, the commission staff has not been present. I would say that Ms. Mann has been in communication with me after the fact, but I think we're talking about what could have happened before. I think one of the testimony about a biannual newsletter that the teachers aren't aware of or read carefully, I think that's something that we very much recognize. Now, we as a district, we've definitely changed some procedures in which we make our teachers and staff aware of our policy, but again, this is a bigger question than policy, because policy is limited. Professional standards goes beyond that, and I'm not sure who's at the wheel to drive that outside of PTPC. So, I don't know if I'm answering your question, Senator.
You are.
Senator,
quick follow-up.
I'm sorry, yes, Senator Begich.
So, I guess I'm pretty sure, and I can't quite remember. I sit on the both Senator Stevens and I sit on the Finance. Senate Finance Subcommittee on Education. I'm pretty sure, I'm looking at Brittany in the audience, but I'm pretty sure that the commission hasn't suffered any budget cuts in this process. Is that right? And she's nodding her head just for the record, Mr. Chairman. To all three of the prospective appointments have said that they want to approach that 14-24-75, make recommendations to boards of school boards, but maybe part of that is looking at that more aggressive role of coming out to communities, letting them know what they do. But again, I don't know how the budget affects that, so I don't want to make promises to you. But I think that's a great charge to lay on at the feet of the commission to talk about how they become more proactive. And it sounds like three members have expressed that interest. So,
thank you very much. And we have a question from Senator Hughes as well.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Matt, for stepping up to the table. You mentioned one of the problems was that things were kept kind of like an HR department to keep them confidential, and you mentioned the importance of procedure changes and policy. Did you change things now so if such a thing, heaven forbid, would occur again, that it would move on up to the Professional Teachers Practices Commission. And do you know, is that something districts should have a policy that things like this do rise to that level and always go to PTPC? And are you aware that other districts would be in the same boat that you were, that they might have kept it confidential? I'm just wondering if I'm about local control, but if districts don't have this policy, I'm just wondering if it should be a state policy. I know in the Judiciary Committee, we have been dealing with sexual crimes involving minors, and one of the things is that the reporting mechanism would include not just OCS or the Office of Children's Services, but also to law enforcement. So I'm just wondering, do you think there's the need of a state policy that these kind of things, when students are reporting these kind of things, that it should go up to PTPC as well as to law enforcement?
To the chair, you've asked a lot of questions, and I'm trying to see if I can answer some of them. So from our district standpoint, we have definitely changed our local policy. I would say there's a culture within education that these issues are typically held at the building level. They allow the principals to deal with these issues. I personally think that's a flawed approach for the reasons that I gave earlier. From a state level standpoint, I would be an advocate for the PTPC to serve as a de facto statewide human resources department, especially as it relates to the professional code of ethics for the teachers, because that is not necessarily the role of the district from a professional standard. That could be debated, but that's just the state of affairs. So I would be an advocate, and I don't know the procedural ways in which this would happen, and it may just be a cultural change within our state that commission does serve in that capacity. We do have, and I want to choose my words carefully, but we have, teachers are employees of our local districts, but because our state is set up that the majority of our funding comes from the state, it's a little bit of a hybrid in which you would ordinarily see in other states, where in other states sometimes the teachers are direct employees of the state. It makes some of these things procedurally easier. That's not our case, that teachers are employed by the district. But I do think that, I hope I'm answering your question, that I do think that the PTPC would serve our state well to have, whether it's in statute or some other policy within their department, to make sure that that's an assumption and figure out a better way in which school districts are required to report some of these things. And I could very well be talking out of turn as to what is actually written, but I am speaking as to what our practice that we saw. And there may be more expectations and even in statute requirements for this than I'm not aware of, but I can tell you that it's not in practice.
Senator Hughes.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I realize it's somewhat of a gray area because just because there's flirtatious remarks or jokes doesn't necessarily mean there's a crime at that point, but it certainly is a red flag. And I don't know what the chances are that there could be an associated crime, but the inappropriateness of it, it just seems like it rises to that level, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator Hughes. Well, thank you, Mr. Eisenhower. And I have another question before we go to that. You are the president of the board. Were you the president during this entire instance you were talking about?
I was not. I was a school board member, but not president.
Not president. Yeah, well, thank you for stepping forward and doing that job. It's a tough one, I know, and I appreciate you doing that. Senator Birch.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you very much for your comments and observations. And I guess the aspect I kind of struggle with, and I agree with you on the division of authority between the state, and it's been a frustration of mine because a local school district can negotiate a labor contract, and all the state's basically on the hook but has no opportunity to weigh in and say, well, if that's a little generous or not, or whatever. So we're writing the checks, but we're not basically controlling the spend. As it relates to creepy behavior, and I'm sure in your business in the hospital realm, you know, I guess I'm a little challenged with, you know, how you would translate that information or transfer that information from a school district to an overarching, you know, our commission we're talking about. And the reason I bring that up is that there's a lot of socially inept people out there, and one person's creepy behavior might be an innocent, though inappropriate comment. And I guess I'm just kind of, I'm trying to struggle through, and having been involved with, you know, and manage an HR office that oversees that, there's a protective component that you need to respect that individual relationship between the employer and the employee. But I struggle with how you share that. I mean, how does a school board share that upward to this commission? You know, so it's, you know, without, you know, kind of hosing an employee inappropriately, but also protecting the public interest. And I'm an engineer. I'm not an HR guy, so I'm just trying to figure out how you do that and kind of be, you know, protect the public, but be fair to the individual. I just would, you know, being a hospital administrator, you obviously deal with this in spades. I'm presuming, you know, I mean, obviously there's you know, employees move around, but. Any thoughts through the chair?
Yeah, through the chair, Senator Birch. You know, being a good engineer, you've hit on the touch point. The touch point and the friction is that everything is 2020 in hindsight. Mm-hmm. Some of these early reports of you know, that have been public have been in hugs and mm-hmm. maybe some touches that would seem inappropriate that some students would define as creepy. We now know that there was conditioning of some of those students and. Folks who have a background, unfortunately, I've become an expert in that. Not an expert, but I've heard more and learned more than I'd like to. The challenge then is when do you take action on that? Because you're right. My personal view is that based on the code of ethics that are very, very clear, as I just read a couple examples of that, that as soon as something in that realm is observed by anybody in the profession, they have an obligation not to investigate, not to make judgment, but they have an obligation to report that to the commission, and in which, if I understand the process right, then the staff does the investigation, and usually in conjunction with the district. I think right now a lot of people think, as you and I probably would, that that may not be a problem. I think that's a cultural issue in which we need to teach our professionals in this day and age that if they see something, they say something. They don't have to take ownership and to judgment as to whether or not that's inappropriate. But it's very clear. It's in black and white. The standards for teachers, the ethical standards, are very, very high. If you read them, they are very, very high. And they should be held to those standards, because if not, these things can happen. And you know, I feel personally vested in this, because had we done something differently early on, I don't think the outcomes would have been the same.
Thank you. Thank you very much for being here today.
Thanks so much, Senator Begich.
Yes, I think in a way we might have gotten a bit of an answer from Tamara Van Wy earlier. She specifically said that when it's influencing classroom behavior, and in this case where you had students reporting, you know, the inappropriate, that's influencing classroom behavior. That seems to be an interesting trigger that Tamara Van Wy mentioned. That isn't in statute. It was, you know, it came out of that questioning, but it seems to be an interesting statute. We might want to explore some more.
Very good point. Thank you. And thank you very much, Mr. Eisenhower, for coming forward. I appreciate the tough spot that you have been in, and appreciate that you are in that position. Thanks for your public service.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you. Actually, can I ask Ms. Hartman to come up just to clarify this issue of the funding, just to make sure that we all understand the situation of the funding for the Professional Teaching Practices Commission.
Through the chair, for the record, my name is Brittany Hartman, legislative liaison for the Department of Education and Early Development. The only funding that goes to this committee is to pay for the executive director, and it was not cut. The only thing cut by this budget this year was a 50% travel reduction, and that did not pass out of the House version. So,
thank you. Yes, Senator Begich.
So the travel budget proposed was a cut of 50% because that was the consistency with the administration,
mm-hmm.
and it's not in the House version of the budget.
Correct.
Okay.
So, Ms. Hartman, I appreciate the position you are in, but I think what you've heard is that we'd like to see a bigger presence of the commission out there, and maybe that's the only way to solve this. Maybe one way to solve this issue, but anyway, I appreciate taking that back to the commissioner.
Will do. Thank you, sir.
Senator Hughes, a question of
yes.
Ms. Hartman. Yes, okay. You're not fast enough there.
Dang. Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. We go through ethics training every year here in this building, or every session, and just wondering if the PTPC provides any kind of training, whether online, a PowerPoint, or anything that districts are able to use in their in-service or their annual trainings.
Through the chair, Senator Hughes, I am not. I would say no, but that would be not certain. No, so I will follow up this afternoon with the committee and let you know.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, and maybe just some thought too about the in-service training that teachers have. I mean, do all districts deal with that? Are they recommended they deal with that issue about becoming more aware of the PTC, Professional Teaching Practices Commission? And we'd be interested in the approach there. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes, Senator Hughes. I'm sorry, Senator Begich.
But I was pointing at Senator Hughes. So
you were.
But yeah, I don't know if Tamara Von Wy is still online, but she, as the deputy, might have an answer to that question. She might know more about the actual physical work of the if she's still on it. With her other hat, could she answer that question? I don't know. I don't want to impose that, Mr. Chairman.
But no, there's nothing wrong with that. We're all friends here. Ms. Van Wy, are you still with us?
I am still on the line, yes.
Do you have any reflection on the Senator Begich's comment?
Which was in response to Senator Hughes's comment.
I'm sorry, Senator Begich, could you repeat the question, please?
Sure. I think Senator Hughes was simply asking if there was a training curriculum that was available on ethics. We have an ethics training here. And is there such a thing available through the Professional Teaching Practices Commission that is accessible to teachers or is available online? Or is there any other curriculum that is used to help teachers understand their ethical obligations, professional obligations?
And maybe something in the teacher training that occurs, the in-service training as well.
Sure. Through the chair, Senator Begich, yes, there are some resources available on the PTPC website. There is a handbook for educators. In my testimony, I commented that it has not been updated since 2012 and could use a refresh. There are additional materials that are pretty basic, the list of just the code of ethics in general, and that's updated fairly regularly. There's also a trifold brochure that's made available to educators. For most districts, I would say probably for all districts, it's part of the training that they provide for teachers as part of their educator growth and evaluation systems, and that happens in the fall of each school year and then typically continues throughout the school year just as part of professional development and teacher evaluation activities. I don't know that it's required, but it's in terms of school district best practices, I think it's a best practice that we would see occurring in most districts across the state.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate you're wearing two hats here as a applicant, but also as in your position. So I think if you could get back to us eventually with some comment on the updating and refreshing the handbook, I think we agree that'd be a good idea, and also whether it's required an in-service training to deal with the commission so people have an understanding of it. Any further comments or questions? Thank you very much, Ms. Hartman. Appreciate you being with us. Anybody else in the audience that would care to make public comment this time? We have nobody online, so we'll close the public hearing. Any further questions or thoughts from the board at this time? Okay, thank you very much. We'll look for a motion. Then Senator Hughes.
Yes, Mr. Chair. I move that the following named appointees to the Alaska Professional Teaching Practices Commission be forwarded to a joint session of the legislature for consideration. Janine Todd of Delta Junction, Tammy Van Wy of Glen Allen, Todd Smolden of Willow.
Thank you. Is there any objection to that motion? If none, the motion passes. And we'll take a brief at ease to sign the document. Education Committee, for the record, our action does not reflect any intent by any of the members to vote for or against the confirmation of the individual during the joint session. Thanks, everyone, for being here. If there's nothing further to come before us, we're adjourned.